Cincinnati, and we all got really happy. Grabbed a bowl of that Skyline chili along the way. Then we rolled on into Canton, scared the hell out of Marilyn Manson, and the party started happening. Hey, hey, hey. And in the middle of a Charleston night, we ran into Jessica White, and a little moonshine got us right plumb smack inside.
Back at it on what we call Friday here on 610 Sports Radio. Brett Veach will come your way at 10 o'clock. His pre-draft press conference where he will tell us the board speaks. They will take the best available player.
Like the hot zone a couple years ago. He's 100% right. Said he could draft a running back in the later rounds. Yeah. Drafted and get 1,000 yards. I mean,
listen in between the lines,
he's
right?
He's going to give you something.
Yeah, so that's coming up at 10 o'clock right
Trent
here.
Balky, maybe he does that.
Maybe he farts. I don't know. If Brett farts today, that'll be outstanding, and we can have a lot of fun with that, just like we did with the Trent Balky song. That song coming back from break, another from the Taylor Swift new album, right, Nathan?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And what was that one called?
Skyline Chili.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like that. All right. Very good.
Yeah, she featured Big and Rich on that one.
She did. Good for her. I know she features Post Malone on the new album.
She does.
That's
it's a song called Fortnite.
Yeah. That's the number one hit, I guess they're going to tell you, right?
It is. It's gotten the most. Well, it's the first track.
It's
on
the first
album.
Track, yes.
And then it is. Yeah, it's gotten the most streams so far. Yeah.
She went back to her country roots. With that song, Big and Rich, and her song.
Yeah. Oh, the Big and Rich one. Yeah, she did. She definitely did. And so did Trent Balky.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
It's unbelievable. It just is. It's just so unbelievable. We have the final board.
It's my new favorite GM.
And there you go. So
Trent Balky.
Mitch Holtis told us yesterday, you've got to find a GM that's confident in what he does in order to trade with the Chiefs. If you fart, excuse yourself, and just continue on, that reeks
right
of confidence.
Right back to the board.
Yeah, that reeks
the
of confidence.
The task at hand.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
The task at hand.
Go for it, Trent. Go for it. The Royals tonight face the Orioles of Baltimore, right? That's the team from the Queen City, the Charm City, the Baltimore City, whatever you want to call it, right?
Windy City.
The Windy City, you're right. Absolutely. And so with the bay and it all blows in and whatnot, it smells like the sea. But I think with the Royals right now, sitting at 500, the next 21 games are going to determine a lot, I think, about this team. And my friend Britt sent this to our text group the other day. With the Royals at 500, the next 21 games are against teams above 500. What's the Royals' record going to be after the first 40 games of the season? And that's kind of when people start, you know, judging their milepost, you know, April 30th, May 1st. Then you look at Memorial Day. Then you look at 4th of July. Then you look at, you know, whatever else comes after that. So you've got all of those holidays, those mileposts in Major League Baseball. But the first 40 games, 4 times 4 is 16. That's roughly the quarter pole of the season, right? And so I think at the quarter pole of the season, if the Royals are sitting at 6 to 7 games over 500, which means one or two games over 500 over the next 21, you're going to be sitting in a really good spot. And I think that's something then at the quarter pole of the season, if you haven't bought in yet to this team and you're not excited about this team, at the quarter pole of the season, if there's 6 or 7 games over 500, well, it's time to get in. It's time to get in the mix. It's time to go out there and get excited about this ball club. And I was looking at the text line when we first came in this morning. It was somebody from Carrington's show complaining that Carrington, said, be excited, be passionate about this team. And this guy's like, we haven't had anything to be excited about but once in the last 20 years. Understand our pessimism. And look, I understand why folks take a while to get to the party on things like this, especially when it hasn't been great. But that has nothing to do with what's going on right now. And what's going on right now is a starting staff that has the best ERA in Major League Baseball, and they're winning games at a pretty good clip right now. But the next 3 weeks are going to be what determines, I think, the success of this ball club. And if they can play 500 over the next 21 games, or a little bit better than 500 over the next 21 games, they're going to be in some really good positions to go out there and really challenge for a postseason spot. And then I think folks will have no choice but to buy in this team. And I'm talking locally. I think there are more people outside of Kansas City that are buying in. We've seen the power rankings. We heard from Tim Kirkchen earlier this week. Like, people outside of Kansas City are already buying in because they're looking at the way that the Royals are winning, and you're winning games with starting pitching. And when you win games with starting pitching, my God, nobody's going to stop you. And the Royals finally have, Jay, that starting pitching. So I think the next 3 weeks are going to be very, very significant. And it starts tonight with Baltimore. The Orioles took 2 out of 3 from us in Baltimore. It's time to repay that favor, win the series here in Kansas City.
And it's a series that could have been won by the Kansas City Royals. They could have won 2 out of 3 against Baltimore there. They know that. The Royals were toe-for-toe with the Baltimore Orioles there. And I know they've had a lot of success against the White Sox with half their wins, and they swept Houston. But they're very good against Houston for some reason. They've won 8 of the last 9 against that team. But, yeah, buy into what this team is. I think the most important thing is they believe in themselves, like Vinny talking about, hey, this is a great team, you know.
Right.
Like, they're buying into that, and I like that. I like that attitude they have. You know, like, we can't compete. Because you look at this division, they can compete in this division. The White Sox, we know, are terrible.
They're bad.
Minnesota, if you have expectations on the Twins, they're bad. Mm-hmm. But if you never have expectations, they're good.
It's weird, isn't it?
They're either back and forth. Yeah, Minnesota's one of the teams. You have expectations, they don't live up to them. And Cleveland without Bieber, I mean, that's 15, 16 wins right out there. They're at the manufacturer. So
how do you make up for Shane Bieber being out, man? That's one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yeah, I just look at that and what he's doing. And, yeah, the Royals right there. Somebody had the Royals now in the whole division at plus 80 wins now for each team in the division.
Really?
Going forward, except for the White Sox. But Detroit is lingering out there. I kind of like what Detroit's doing, but I don't know if they're yet ready for prime time. But the Royals can't compete with anybody with this pitching.
Yeah, I was watching the Tigers a little bit yesterday. They had some dude in the 9th inning, and this is going to date me, but do yourself a favor and Google this person. Rod Beck. Do you remember Rod Beck back in the day?
He was the best. When he ended his career, I think he was playing with the Iowa Cubs, and he slept in an RV and had a little sign that said open when he wanted people to come drink beer with him. That's what I remember about Rod Beck.
Are you being serious about that?
Yeah, obviously he's good with the Giants, but he ended his career, I think, with the Iowa Cubs, and he had an RV out there, and he would invite fans to go drink beer with him.
How long ago was that?
It was a ways back. When did he die?
Rod Beck's dead?
Yeah, he's dead.
No way Rod Beck is dead.
He died in 2007.
He did? Rod Beck?
Rod Beck died in 2007.
How the hell did he die?
I don't know exactly the cause, but it says on June 23rd, 2007, died alone at his home in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, my God, you're right. The guy is dead.
They did not publicly disclose the cause of death.
I had no idea Rod Beck was no longer with us. But anyway, look a picture
it's
of
it. It's been a long time ago, too.
07, Jay. I mean, good Lord.
But anyway, I do remember him with that RV, and he put the open sign when he was, like, open for business for letting people come by and drink beer with him, which is totally Kenny Powers-esque.
Right. And so this guy that was pitching yesterday for the Tigers looks like Rod Beck. He's got the mustache. He's got the mullet going on, the flowing locks, the wet, greasy hair, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm watching this guy pitch yesterday. I'm like, damn, they got, like, Rod Beck's twin out there. I'm still stunned that this guy's dead. I have no idea.
Was it Andrew Chafin?
Yeah, it was Chafin, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's totally Rod Beck's twin.
Right? Doesn't he look just like Rod Beck? I'm like, I don't know if he can pitch like Rod Beck, who was a pretty good closer back in the day, but this guy's a spitting image of him. I want him on our team. Can we get that guy to Kansas City?
Let's hope.
Because that guy looks like he should be pitching here. I mean, he was nasty yesterday and just looks the part. So I'm all about it. With Rod Beck, and somebody says, I don't feel like it was long ago he played. I feel like he just retired. But again, that's how we know we're getting old. As I turn 47 today, you start to think about these players. Oh, that guy pitched last year. He's been dead since 07. Okay, I guess he didn't pitch last year.
You were 30 when he died.
Yeah, I was. You're right. Yeah, 17 years ago that guy died. Holy crap. Jeez. How come I didn't get notified? But anyway.
Dead or alive, we'd be terrible.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, back to the Royals. These next 3 weeks are going to be the most significant stretch of baseball that they play all season. If they come out of this thing and they're 6 or 7 games above 500, it's go time. It is absolutely 100% go time here in Kansas City. So get ready to strap in, because I think these guys are going to go on a little bit of a run. You got Baltimore, you got Toronto, you beat some of these good teams, you show that you can play with good competition in baseball, and then all of a sudden everybody is in, everybody's buying into what the Royals have to offer. Coming up here on 610 Sports Radio, Jay has an idea on how we can get Marvin Harrison. I can't wait to hear it next.
And I could see it from a mile away, a perfect case for my certain skill set. He had a halo of the highest grade, he just hadn't met me yet. They shake their heads.
More of the Taylor Swift new album here on 610 Sports Radio, your official home in Kansas City for all things Taylor Swift. What do we got, Nathan, today? Who's that?
This is Taylor.
Yes.
Taylor Swift is her name.
I meant what song, I guess. I don't know why I said who's that.
Gwen Stefani.
Oh, all right. Oh.
I can fix him.
That's what my wife says.
They all say that.
Right? Don't they all say that?
Say yeah. That. Have you been fixed yet?
Yeah. No, I have not. Have you? Mm. No, I'm not going to.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Look at me. Work in progress still.
Always. I think for all guys. Like, yeah. If you're a lady and you're trying to fix a guy, stop. Just stop.
That.
Just move on to the next guy.
They want you to have problems, then fix them.
Nah. So, well, why?
Like you're a car or something.
Yeah, no, I'm not interested in that. I don't think women should be interested in that. And we're not trying to fix women, right?
No. She's kind of stealing your thunder. It's your birthday, not Taylor Swift album day.
I know. It's my birthday. Taylor Swift album drop day is a little bit bigger, I guess. This is brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Brett Veach will take the airwaves, give his pre-draft press conference, let everybody know what the Chiefs are planning to do when it comes to the draft. Or
he'll
just
do it now.
Just throw us off the scent a little bit.
Can they do it now?
You ready for right now? You
need some
Veach? All right, get you some Veach.
Why does Gold and Cody get this?
Well, because they're Cody and Gold. They're the gold standard, as Alex likes to tell you, right? So 610 Sports Radio's draft party is coming up on Thursday night at the Landing in Liberty. It's all brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to ask you guys to try to figure out who's going to get picked and where they're going to go. Whoever comes closest, the winner's going to receive $610 plus autographed Chiefs merchandise. We'll all be in attendance. Obviously, Jay and Chris Unocero, the Characters Concerned crew, will be broadcasting live during the first round. So we encourage you to come hang with us on Thursday night at the Landing in Liberty. They've got a great soft pretzel. They got the Ben Maller chicken tenders. Their Reuben quesadilla is insanely good.
I should
good.
Throw on the Character Concerns podcast for 5 minutes. You know, the winner of this. I mean, clearly, I mean, it's someone that knows their craft.
So is that what you're going to do? The winner gets
I
to be
guess.
On
I
with
just
you?
Thought of it just now. Do you know that they actually have a mock draft accuracy report every year?
Yes.
Where they go by and, you know, who is the most accurate?
They do one of those for the NCAA tournament as well for all the bracketologists. Yeah. It's like Joe Lenardi never wins that thing. Mel Kiper never wins that thing. But
he was like 55, I think, was on accuracy.
Usually somebody who wins that thing is somebody like you've never heard of before.
Yes, I don't think the people have heard of a lot of Sean Green. Sports Gambling Podcast Network was the most accurate.
That's crazy.
Our guy has been on the Character Concerns, Josh Edwards, so finished sixth.
Where's
CBS.
He out of? CBS? Yeah, where do you finish in that?
Usually third or fourth.
Okay. Yeah. So you submit your mock draft at the like your final mock draft? Is that what you do?
Yeah, Mel Kiper's 55. Come on, man.
Yeah.
It's just.
Is that based on just first round?
Yeah, I believe it's just the first round because most of these people don't do 7-round mocks. Look, a couple do, but
Kiper's not the best, obviously, when it comes to that kind of stuff. But Mel Kiper was a pioneer in that industry, right? I mean, you think
100%.
Back,
he's the king of the mock.
You think back to when this started back in the early 80s with ESPN and Mel Kiper was one of the first guys out there along with Howard Balzer, right? And so he cornered the market basically. He just cornered the market on having the mock drafts and being the draft guy. I remember when I first started in this business, I used to even order the Mel Kiper books back in the day, right? And they used to come, and those were the greatest things ever. And, you know, you were on that subscription list, and the books would show up, and it gave you everything you needed to know. Like, you talk about getting into an industry earlier than anybody could have. It was Mel Kiper Jr.
And he sets the bar. Whenever his mocks come out, yeah. You watch it, a lot of other people will copy off what he has.
Oh, sure.
They think he knows, you know. And then he had the, you know, the rumors of he built guys up if he was knew their agent or whatever. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times if he puts a mock out, you'll see a lot of people with the same picks as Mel.
I got a sister in Burlington Junction, Missouri, that when we took William Perry back in 84 or 85, I talked to her 2 days later, and she said, why'd you take the fat kid? And I said, you just have to believe me. He was the best available.
And that came from Bill Tobin, the general manager of the Colts or the Bears at the time, getting ridiculed by Mel Kiper. And he went into this whole, who the hell's Mel Kiper, right? Yeah. And ever since the mid-'80s, like, he has been the go-to guy for I don't know that there's been anybody else in an industry in sports, let's say, in sports, that was and has still maintained the ability to be the guy.
You wake him up one time a year and boom.
You know, like there's nobody in baseball that's the guy that's been there forever or even that covers the NFL or anything like
maybe
that.
Maybe Joe,
like,
Lunardi for basketball, but he didn't have the cachet of Mel.
No, Lunardi hasn't been around as long as Mel Kiper has.
No.
Now, both of those guys have the backing of ESPN. That's why when folks leave ESPN, they think they're bigger than the network. They're not.
Or Todd McShay when he used to argue with Todd.
Yeah.
But anyway, Peter Schrager, everybody says, oh, he's so accurate because he put his mock out this week.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Schrager finished 129 in this.
That's great. That's
everybody's
funny.
Like, oh, Peter Schrager's gospel.
Yeah.
Because he had the Chiefs getting Jalen Polk,
yeah,
which is the only guy that's got the Chiefs getting Jalen Polk. But everybody's like, oh, Schrager's always on top of it. Well, he's 129.
Yeah, it's the guys you don't know that are finishing at the top and the guys you do know finishing at the bottom. But you have a solution and a way potentially that we could get Marvin Harrison Jr. to Kansas City. And I'm so interested to hear about how you think we can do this, because if we do, I'll be a very happy man.
I texted you and said, hey, Bob, see what the Patriots are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They're willing to deal, and they've said they're willing to deal. They're open for business.
Right.
The open sign is on. They have a lot of needs. Listen, the Patriots have a lot across the board. Of course, they need a quarterback. We all know they need a quarterback. We know that that's a situation, but – do they feel that that guy's actually here? Are they going to settle? Because what's funny is all these teams settling on quarterbacks now. A lot of these guys would never have been first-round picks in the past,
mm-hmm.
but they are now because everybody wants the Patrick Mahomes now. Everybody wants the quarterback and throwing darts.
And there's the other thing is, too, nobody believes that if you pick a quarterback out of the first round, they can be good anymore.
He's been so bad. I mean, even going back to Trevor Lawrence and that mm-hmm. COVID draft class with the, you know, the Zach Wilsons of the world, they don't belong in the first round. They never did belong in the first round, but they were in the first round because everybody thought the quarterback. Nobody gets the quarterback right, too. They think you get it right, and they don't. There's no reason Mahomes went 10th,
mm-hmm.
as we know that, and everybody loved Trubisky at that point. Brock Purdy, last player in the draft, had every single team, including the Niners, miss on this kid that took his team to the Super Bowl that many times, but yes, New England needs a quarterback, but they're willing to do business. Now, will they do business with the Chiefs picking always at the end of the draft? Probably not, but hey, they if you want Marvin Harrison Jr., that guarantees you, because quarterbacks are going 1 and 2. There'd be no more guarantee to get your Marv.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've been thinking about 4 in some of these spots. 3 would guarantee you, Bob. When I saw this, I was like, here's Fesco's team. It's the Patriots. That's who you need to be talking to.
If you're the Patriots, though, what would you do with that number 3 overall pick? Because Caleb Williams is going to go 1. Jaden Daniels is going to go number 2. I still believe, in my heart of hearts, that Michael Penix Jr. is the best quarterback in this draft. I know he's got the injuries and all that kind of
You've
stuff.
You've been high on that one for a long time.
You know, I have been. And I heard somebody else the other day that we were talking about Michael Penix Jr. being really high on their list as well. I'm like, good. I'm glad somebody – like, I'm not nuts just drinking the Washington Kool-Aid because I watched him play a couple
you
of times.
You might be right. I mean, don't forget, Lamar Jackson, 2-time MVP, went 32nd,
right,
in the draft.
Right, right. So. And probably would have gone in the second round had Baltimore not traded back
Josh
in, obviously.
Allen actually was the better quarterback. It worked out, and Lamar's won MVPs, and Josh hasn't, but it was Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson turned out to be the best quarterbacks.
So I think Penix is the best quarterback in that draft, but obviously I'm not a GM, I'm not a draft nick or anything like that. So if you're New England sitting at number 3, what are you doing in that position? Like, is it better for you to trade out or do you try to force a quarterback, even if you don't think that, you know, one of the guys that is left, like you really coveted Jalen Daniels or you really coveted Caleb Williams, are you taking the third best quarterback? Are you taking the guy that fits your system at number three for you? You taking Marvin Harrison Jr.? You trading that pick to get more picks? Like, what are you doing if you're New England? They've got the world, you know, right there for them. They could do so many different things. I think the worst option in this draft has to be the Giants at number six, because they need a quarterback. But by the time number six rolls around, Jay, is there going to be a good quarterback even left on the board or that people consider a good quarterback? I believe Penix will be there at number six. But you could also be looking at Daniel Jones, who's still under contract, and a quarterback room that, you know, you have full kind of right now with Tommy Cutlets and Drew Locke as well, part of that thing. Do you go out and draft another quarterback and replace Daniel Jones this year? Or at number six, do you see Malik Nabers sitting there, and then you take Malik Nabers and give Daniel Jones an opportunity? Like, I think the Giants are in a crappy spot right now. For a team that's bad, that needs help, being at number six, you got to think to yourself, God, how do we approach this? And so I think the Patriots and the Giants are two teams that I look at going, I wouldn't want to be the GM of either of those two teams right now, because I don't know exactly what I would do at those spots.
Yeah, and I actually saw a mock draft earlier today that had Penix from CBS, actually, who had Penix going eighth, by the way. I think Penix being out there is nice for the Chiefs at 32, because if he's still there, Bo Nix, Michael Penix still there at 32. But for New England, if you say Drake...
Are you saying the Chiefs should take one of those guys at 32?
No. I'm saying the team could trade for him. Like, if the team really values it, the Chiefs could trade out of position. If those two guys are there, that's, you know, maybe coveted guys that someone wants to jump up and get 32. Like, New England probably could grab a guy with getting picks and get, like, a Penix later if they say, okay, we think Penix is just as good as Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
Or we think Bo Nix is just as good as Drake May. We're not totally sold on Drake May. And I know that, you know, everybody's saying, all the experts saying, we need to take Drake May. Well, really, I mean, Zach Wilson, the Jets, I mean, yeah, that's the consensus was saying they need to take this guy, but did they need to take this guy? Maybe they value Michael Penix more than Drake May. I mean, it might behoove the Patriots to get out of the spot. I think they're going Drake May because I think Jaden Daniels is going too. Then later, that they could get the quarterback they want.
Yeah, they could go get the quarterback they want a little bit later on, right? And then
which
people,
I think they could.
Yeah, which, you know, again, if it's not like a top 10 now, everybody's like, oh, you didn't get your quarterback.
They picked,
right?
34th as well in the second round. So the second pick in the second round goes to the Patriots as well. So there is a really good chance Penix and Bo Nix are still there at 34. So if they do trade out of that three, they get extra picks. Plus, you're sitting there at 34, and you could probably get your quarterback. If you say, all right, we think Penix. I mean, Drake May is not head and shoulders above Penix, we don't think. So maybe you go that direction.
Okay. All right. Very good.
And he's
good.
Put two solid seasons together. He had those, you know, four injury-riddled seasons in Indiana where he had season-ending injuries. But he has put two back-to-back years. And then one thing about Penix, very accurate, but he has three receivers that are first and second rounders, mm-hmm, in Polk, McMillan, and Odunze. So he did have some talent.
He did. But you look, you're going into the NFL. You're going to have some talent in the NFL as well, right?
But he's extremely, extremely accurate.
Yeah,
big reason why they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, so I'm just a big fan of him. I think he can be a player that plays well in the NFL for a very long time, and I think people will be looking back at this draft and go, man, we should have taken Michael Penix Jr., like maybe the Patrick Mahomes-ish, if you will, that the guy we should have drafted. We took all these other quarterbacks, but this is the guy that you should have picked. Coming up here on 610 Sports Radio, all the mocks are compiled. What do they have the Chiefs, which player, I should say, do most mocks have the Chiefs taking? We'll tell you next.
Gonna smash up your bike, I haven't decided yet, but I'm gonna get you back. Whether I'm gonna curse you out or take you back to my house, I haven't decided yet, but I'm gonna get you back.
Rolling through a Friday morning, Brett Veach in about 19 minutes here on 610 Sports Radio, your exclusive home for the Chiefs. Final Taylor Swift track of the day, excuse me. I Trent Baalke'd that thing, except it wasn't a fart.
I Baalke'd on the way out of the door.
Did you?
That's why I said, excuse me.
Okay.
I'm going to get you back.
And I did that by Alex Gold, too.
Yeah, he was crop dusted him.
He has no idea what I did, but I said, excuse me. Yeah.
Which one is this, Nathan?
It's called I'm Gonna Get You Back by Taylor Swift.
Who's she trying to get back?
Wow. That's the question. Hey, the theme of this, from what I understand, and you guys know I've done a lot of research this morning.
You have.
This album has been, it was done, it has been done for a while. It's related to her past relationships, and she's added a couple of tracks about Travis.
Gotcha.
So none of this is to indicate that they are unhappy.
Okay, good. Because people are very concerned about that. Yeah. So the new album is out. Kids are excited. Everybody's raring to go. So there you go. Anyway.
Should I do one about the Bengals?
She should do one. Mayor Jabroni needs to make the song, right? How cool would that be? So you took time out of your very busy day.
Terribly busy.
To compile every freaking mock draft out there to see who the majority has taking for the Chiefs in the first round.
Well, I was just curious. You know, you see who are people thinking. I mean, we talked about Mel Kiper and how people like to copy off him or whatever. But, you know, I decided to go a different direction. I have done 40 of these at a time or 50. This time I just took 20.
Okay.
And I went, you know, with a lot of CBS, some Pro Football Focus, some 33rd teams, some NFL.com, like some Peter Schrager thrown in there, some Sporting News, some NBC stuff, and The Athletic, Dane Brugler, who, by the way, has A.D. Mitchell. He's one of the top drafters out there. People like his stuff. But I did 20 mocks. Here's the consensus.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, A.D. Mitchell, five of the 20. Two of the 20, Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. Jordan Morgan, listed as tackle, but he's going to be a guard, short arm guard. Got two for some reason. I don't know why. Ladd McConkey, three. Jalen Polk, one. That's because of Peter Schrager. Enrique Purcell from Florida got two. But A.D. Mitchell led the current mocks as of yesterday, the ones that were being put out there, five out of 20.
Okay.
Yeah, this is right when that news broke about the anonymous source.
So a quarter of the mock drafts have A.D. Mitchell.
A quarter have A.D. Mitchell.
Okay. That's. I guess a good pick. You know, we talk a little bit earlier about, you know, the diabetes thing that people are throwing out there and how ridiculous I think that is with A.D. Mitchell. But if that ends up being the pick, sell me this pen, as you will, A.D. Mitchell with the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, you as draft guru over there, why is this guy a good fit for what we do here?
Well, his yards per catch have all been over 14 yards every season he's been there. He's 6'2". 205, ran a 4.3 freaking 4 at the combine. I mean, the guy's got the blazing speed. He's got the size to go with it. He could change games. And you know what? The diabetes thing, I'm not worried about. He takes his medicine. Everything's fine,
right,
according to source. I'm not worried about that. But Texas, big reason why they were tough this year is because of A.D. Mitchell. And then you say, okay, well, is he a winner? Well, you know, you'd be going to a winning organization. You get that culture. This team wins Super Bowls. What's A.D. Mitchell won? Well, he won two national championship rings when he was at Georgia. Transferred to Texas for personal reasons. He goes to Texas, gets to the playoffs. So he's been to the playoffs every year as a college football player and winning two national titles at Georgia.
Right.
Goes with the Texas Longhorns this year. So this kid wins, man.
Mm-hmm.
This kid is a winner. He'd be in a winning organization, the culture fit. I just like what he brings. And it's different than they have, just different skill set they have. They have the burner down the field, even though A.D. Mitchell, not much slower than a Hollywood Brown, because Hollywood Brown's wasn't official at the combine because he didn't compete in the 40 at the combine, but maybe the low 4.3 range, 4.2 range, but 4.34, MVS was extremely fast. He was 4.37. This kid's 4.34. I mean, this is big time speed for a guy that size.
So I guess with A.D. Mitchell or any wide receiver that they draft, you got to look at whether or not they're a winner, right? How much does that really factor in? Because I think you think of some of the great players on this team, not a lot of them came from these winning programs, right?
Sure.
Patrick Mahomes came from Texas Tech. Travis Kelce came from Cincinnati. Chris Jones came from Mississippi State. You know, you think about Legarius Sneed coming from, you know, Louisiana Tech. Tyreek Hill came from, you know, Last Chance U. So there are a lot of guys and a lot of players on these teams that are good football players that didn't necessarily come from a winning culture, which to me I think is a little bit surprising, but also it goes to show you the depth, if you will, of what Brett Veach goes to find players. It's not just, let me just go to Georgia, or let me just go to Auburn,
like,
or let me just go to
Ohio
State.
Drafts, you know, every Georgia guy.
Every Georgia guy out there. Now, look, there's something to be said for knowing how to win and having the expectation of winning, But just because you're on a winning team doesn't mean you're a winning player. You've got to be able to find that. And I think Brett Veach has done a good job of finding winning players on teams that maybe aren't winners.
Well,
you know?
It's just a different deal because he's a winning player, and everywhere he's gone, he's won, and they've counted on him to kind of lead the offense. I know people were talking a lot about Georgia, that second national championship. They were still banking that their defense was as good as the first run they had a national title, but it was about their offense. Their offense was sixth in the nation. Their offense was actually better with Stetson Bennett than it was the year before, because that was all about defense with Georgia. But he's shown different ways to win. He's been a winning player. I just like the way he fit in. And as good as he was with Texas this year, as good as he was, you know, with Georgia, wasn't used as much at Georgia as he was at Texas. But that speed, that barrage, I mean, he's got the physical athletic ability too. Put it this way, ranked 11 out of 3,063 wide receivers in his relative athletic score from 87 to 2024. 11th out of 3,063. It's pretty good.
Pretty good. Like, he's a top, basically top 10 wide receiver since, what, 1987?
Yeah, he would go early, I think, in the 20s. We'll see how much stock is in this report that, you know, teams are pulling him off the board because of this, because he's rude, because he doesn't take his medicine. But if that's your only concern, I mean, if that's your only character concern when you take your medicine, who gives a damn?
Right. I'm with you. I think that's
bizarre. Can you play football
bizarre.
Or not?
That sounds like somebody who really wants him and they're trying to throw people off the scent that he's no good, right?
It's just this feeling. Sometimes people get hung up on numbers, and these quarterback classes have been terrible lately. It's usually that one good quarterback out of the quarterback classes. But even a guy like Keon Coleman, a receiver that I really like out of Florida State.
Nobody has him taking going to the Chiefs.
A lot of him in the second round. He was filtering a lot in the first round to tell people saw him run the 40, ran a 4.61 at the combine. But what are you looking at? You're looking at the football player or just the 40 time? Because more and more of these teams are going by, are you a football player? Because at the combine, they're marked with GPS trackers, like in their shoulders and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like the year before, Puka runs a 4.57, but he was number one in that gauntlet, which is when you run it straight line, you catch from both sides. Keon Coleman was faster than that. So he was the fastest this year at that drill and faster than Puka the year before. And also one of two wide receivers that went over 20 miles an hour on vertical routes. You're sitting there saying, well, his 40 time wasn't great, but he's a football player and he's got game speed. Because that's what teams missed on Puka, because Puka showed, hey, man, he's good at all the other drills, and he shows he's a football player. The 40 time doesn't necessarily mean there.
Right.
But when A.D. Mitchell does have the 40 time, and I think he's a great football player.
I feel like, and again, this, I don't know why I'm going to feel like this, but we all have our perceptions and whatnot. I feel like if Ladd McConkey is the pick at 32, which is the second guy that most mock drafts have going to the Chiefs behind A.D. Mitchell.
Another Georgia guy.
Yeah, but I look at that, and I'm just like, I don't know if that's going to wow me. Should it wow me? Am I looking at that wrong? Because I'm willing to change.
It's a good solid receiver, but I look at yards after catch. He's extremely fast. We know Ladd's dad. He catches everything.
Ladd's dad is who?
To him. Phil McConkey.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not.
And he's not related.
They're not related, though, right?
I don't know if they're distant, but I don't think they're related at all.
I didn't think they were either, but
I think when you have the name McConkey, people automatically assume.
Well, and you're playing wide receiver, and your last name's McConkey, people are going to, I mean, people our age.
I could be wrong. I don't want to be wrong, but I don't think.
I don't think it is. I think I looked it up.
His father's Benji McConkey.
Well, that's not Phil.
No, it's not. I knew his dad wasn't Phil. I was kidding about that, but I didn't know if he's like a distant, like nephew or something like that, but
right.
He's not. There's no
relation at all. So
it's not like General Booty at the University of Oklahoma.
Well, you know who
which
his
is the
dad
best
was?
John David Booty.
Yeah.
But that's the best name in all of sports, General Booty.
General Booty is a great name. But Ladd McConkey, tell me
Kurt
why.
Nelson, big fan of him.
I shouldn't be depressed if they. I'm not depressed, and that's the wrong word.
Because he's a lot like Rashee Rice, you know, yards after catch. And
yeah.
You already kind of got that guy, although, you know.
Would you be excited? Like, if they say Ladd McConkey at 32, what's your reaction?
I don't know if that's your excitement to drive up I-29 to St. Joe and training camp. Oh, let's go see Ladd. Okay. You know, let's go see the new toy.
Right.
I think A.D. Mitchell or Brian Thomas would bring in, you know, Brian Thomas is the one I really want.
Right.
But I don't know if they're going to get him.
All right. Well, it is that time on a Friday where we hear from our friend Billy Coons. It's all brought to you by the good folks at Jay's Southland Tow.
Hello, this is Billy Coons. This is what we learned on Best Gooder Morning for this week. On Monday, Bob and Josh were concerned about Salvi with a hip and groin injury, but he's big and bulky and captain of the team, and legend Bob says, hope he's not out for a while. And Iowa Josh says it isn't good to get hit in the private area, and legend Bob says nobody in the pro sports wears cups anymore. And Kansas City Royals insider Josh Frenier joined the show to discuss the Kansas City Royals being really good this year. And we learned Aging Bob, he's an expert on the movie Animal House. On Tuesday, Bob and Josh were excited that Kansas City Royals keep winning as they defeated the hapless Chicago White Sox 2-0 on Monday night. And we learned Aging Bob, he's an expert on mowing the yard and then the right way to drink a beer after doing yard work. And Tim Kirchen from ESPN Radio joined the show to discuss how good the Royals have been this year. And he says Bobby Witt is on pace to be a tremendous superstar for the Royals. And St. Louis Cardinals owner Bill DeWitt joined the show to discuss sports betting. Will it ever pass in Missouri? On Wednesday, Bob and Josh say American League Central Division is not very good this year, but it's good to play some teams like the White Sox, the Houston Astros, to get some good wins for the Royals because they'll be playing better teams in the future in the balanced schedule like the Braves, the Dodgers. And Iowa Josh says CU head football coach Deion Sanders isn't going to recruits home and is not going to high school because it says it's a hassle, but his son, Shamir Sanders, has been recruiting through the NIL to get transferred to come to Colorado. And Legend Bob says that's not a real smart idea by him or his dad. And Legend Bob says he would love to host Saturday Night Live, and Iowa Josh is not too excited about it. But Legend Bob says he'd love to do it because Patrick Mahomes wants to do it like Travis Kelce's done. On Thursday, we learned that Jontay Porter from the Toronto Raptors, our former player, was banned by the NBA for sports gambling and betting against his own team. And Legend Bob called him a dope and a loser. And both agree that Adam Silver did the right thing by banning him. And the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtz, has joined the show to discuss the Smith Center charity event on Saturday and how the Chiefs did really good in the offseason. And Mitch says the Chiefs are looking for offensive tackle, wideout, or cornerbacks for the draft. But the question is, will any other team than the draft trade up with the Chiefs so they can get a good draft pick? Legend Bob, is a he's a big history buff of the Revolutionary War. And he remembers writing a poem in the seventh grade, and he still knows it by heart and read it to Josh, JT, and the listeners. Great week to listen to Nathan, JT, Iowa Josh, Legend Bob, and we all wish Legend Bob a happy birthday on Friday. Talk to you later.